Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? Good? Good or not?
Good.
Anyone feeling bad? Anyone feeling sleepy? Oh, some of you are sleepy. Sometimes we may think that when we have lesser things to do, we will have more time to rest, we'll be more energetic. But then, sometimes when lesser things to do, then we find ourselves resting more and becoming even more tired. Yeah. So, what are we doing here today? We have a topic that we have to discuss. But before we do that, we must go through any problem? Okay, so let's go through our weekly ritual. Let me see. Anyone new with SGC for the first time? One, two, three. So who would like to go first? Yeah, are you new?
This session.
Meaning? Oh, okay. You also tell us your name.
Pauline.
You have never attended SGC before?
I attended the class.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I see you attend a lot of the classes. Oh, first time attending, sir. Ah, okay, good. I see. Okay. Good. Welcome. I see. So we should have more briefing. Okay. How about you? So you're going to think about what to brief on the 28th when I come back. Welcome. How about the lady behind?
My name is Qiao.
And how do you get to know about this?
Eventbrite.
Ah, good. Welcome. Yeah, the briefing they were talking about. It's a briefing for the Sri Lanka pilgrimage come retreat that we are going to set off this Friday. Yeah. So the next 2 weeks I will be away. So just now as I shared with you all, those who are in Singapore, don't worry, you are not left out. There's still puja here in the morning at 10 a.m. Yeah, so feel free to join Bhante Vimala Jyoti here. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I see. Okay. So 28 we'll have another briefing. Yeah, that one is debrief. Yeah, 28 we'll have a debrief.
After trip debrief.
Yeah, post-trip debrief. Okay, so good to see you. Who else is here for the first time? Yes. I see. Welcome. Good, welcome. Anybody else who is here for the first time? Let me see. Yes.
So actually, I came a few times, but I didn't introduce myself.
I see. Honest.
Yeah, I'm Lee. Then I attended like your class when you went to NUS for a few centers.
Ah, yes, yes. Earlier this year, right, in January, yeah. So I conducted a crash course on the Heart Sutra for the NUS Buddhist Society. Yeah, so I saw you over there as well. Good to see you here. Welcome. What course are you doing? Oh, you're working now? Ah, okay. I see. Good. Welcome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Ah, yes. Hello. Ah, yes. Yeah. So I know why he's here, but they don't know. No, no, as in, how you got to know the group?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I joined Urban Retreat.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So very good to see you here. Welcome. Yeah, so that was the Urban Retreat last Saturday. Yeah, last Saturday. Over at the Buddhist Fellowship East. Lovely place. Yeah. On the 8th floor of Orion Building. The place itself, very spacious, and if there's one thing I want to like highlight about the place, the retreat was, I mentioned that day, I was really touched when we arrived at 7 plus, and the volunteers and just left the whole place to us for the whole day. Yeah, I mean, of course we can be trusted, but to actually get that trust, you know, to just open, literally open doors and welcome us with open hands. Yeah, really nice. Yeah. So I was telling the participants that some of them may be in the committee of some societies, some are not. Some may be in organizations with their own premise, some may not. Something good for us to learn and to emulate. Yeah. To have that trust for others and to welcome others, yeah, in doing good, yeah, in practicing wholesome Dharma together. Yeah. So I was very touched. Mm. So welcome to SGC. For those who are new with us, we have been having this series since 2014 or 15. So the timing has been changing here and there, but the format has more or less been the same. Yeah, short puja, short meditation, and not so short Dharma sharing. Yeah, this was actually the tagline for a series of posters that we did when we were in Kombing San in the monastery. Yeah, it was a tongue-in-cheek poster, very funny, and it was like big words. Short puja, short meditation, and not so short. Yeah, because by the time they did a poster, I have already built up a reputation of my not so short Dharma sharing. Yeah. Trust me, you, these days I'm getting really short already. Yeah. Way back in the early incarnation of the group cultivation, there was a series where it was in the evening. And some of the sessions start at about 7:30 and supposed to end at 9:30, 2 hours. And sometimes because of Q&A, we end at 10, and at 10 plus 30. Yeah. So some of the students in the past actually came to me and say, "Sifu, I really find the sessions very meaningful and it's really helpful. But the next day, huh, I still have to work as Sifu." Yeah. Yeah, it was really funny. And my mom used to highlight to me, "Shifu, don't spend so much time. You must stop." Yeah. So I told my mom, my parents, I said, "If you look at the suttas, you never see the Buddha say, 'Ah, about time, I think we stop here, huh?'" Yeah. The Buddha and his monks never say stop. Yeah. Anytime anyone have a question, he will answer. And he can answer and answer and answer. And sometimes from the sutta itself, it may not be very apparent, yeah, about the timing. But from some of the wordings, you know that it was actually overnight. Yeah, because some of the suttas would end with, and then it was time, and this person or that person went off to prepare for the meal. Yeah, so it was from evening all the way until the next morning. Yeah. So, Dharma have no bounds. Must start. Yeah. So today's topic is dealing with changes. Dealing with changes. Yeah. So let me change something first. This one is... let me change this. Change it to white color. Then, hey, invisible. So today's topic, dealing with changes. Change is something that is pervasive. Yeah, in our life, in day to day, yeah, every moment of our life, we are actually facing changes. While it is a central teaching, yeah, part of the central principles and teachings in Buddhism, yeah. It is not just Buddhism, not just the Buddha, who observed the pervasiveness of change in our life. Take for example, I think in engineering and in philosophy, there is this statement. There is nothing constant but change. Yeah, yeah. Have you all heard of this? Very interesting statement. Yeah, there is... there is nothing constant but change. Some of the statements in philosophy are oftentimes very paradoxical. Yeah, how can constant? How can change be constant? Yeah. So. Change is something that all civilizations have observed. Yeah. There are certain things that is not observed in certain countries. Yeah. Certain countries may not have the environment to observe it. For example, some countries in Southeast Asia may not have the exact words in their standard vernacular to describe things like ice or snow. Yeah. Whereas it is said that Eskimo language, they have like a few hundred words to describe snow, yeah, because they have so much snow there. Yeah, but almost in different languages, there's a word for change. Yeah, so in Pali, yeah, the word is anicca. So this is oftentimes translated as impermanent. Impermanent or impermanence. So in Chinese, then we translate it as wu chang. No? You don't agree? Yeah. Sometimes I find kids very cute. Yeah. When something comes to mind, they will just say it. Yeah. But sometimes we all 自作多情啊, she's not talking to me. Yeah. Hello, Alicia. Hello. Hello. Yeah. One of my favorite pastimes is to traumatize kids also. kids. Kids experience a lot of changes. And in kids, we see a lot of changes as well. Yeah. From day to day, week to week, month to month, we see drastic changes. When we ourselves were kids, we probably look forward to changes, you know, on one hand. For example, yeah, if we ask our two lovely young girls here, yeah, do you want to experience change? Now, if we ask this kind of question, it's a bit hard to answer. Huh? But if we ask, do you want to grow up?
No.
Well, I didn't expect that. Most... Okay, I guess I can't continue now. We must go back home. But I was expecting her to say, yes, I want to grow up. Yeah, because most of us, when we were kids, we want to grow up, you know? Yeah. Why don't you want to grow up? Huh? Ah, you see, she's wise beyond her years. Very succinct to the point, you know? Yeah, Sifu, go on and on, never catch the point. She just gave me an answer straight to the point. Don't want to work. Yeah. So when I was a kid, we look forward to growing up. Yeah. Why? Because we see all the grown-ups and the benefit that comes with being a grown-up. Yeah. We see the benefit of getting to decide what we want to eat, what we want to do, what we want to wear, where we want to go. You know, so much benefits. You know. Yeah. But at her age, maybe, when I was her age, I probably don't know what is working, you know. How old are you? 10 years old. Yeah, usually I would say, I've already seen her so many years, so cannot play the same trick again. Yeah, 10 years old. When I was 10 years old, P4, do I know about work? Roughly, lah. Yeah. Yeah, so this is the thing about having your mom in your talk, you know. So different, you see, this is another change. Yeah, children in the past and children now. Yeah, that's a change. And even children at the same time, there are differences. Yeah, so with change, then there are differences also. By definition, change is about differences. Yeah, so part of the nature of change is differences. The question is whether these differences are what we like or not. Like it or not? Yeah. When we were kids, we think that growing up would bring about some changes that is agreeable to us, yeah, and like what I mentioned earlier, then we can decide, yeah, and that's one of the key thing about the change that we think is going to bring about, that we can have autonomy, yeah, to be able to decide for yourself is autonomy, yeah, so we think that some changes bring about autonomy. But as we grow up, then we realize that once you grow up, you cannot stop the process of growing up. Then you start to grow old. Yeah. But growing old is a very interesting process. Yeah, because different people at different part of their life feel old differently. Yeah, there are those in their 20s. Yeah, do you know who are the ones who keep on saying that they are old already? Not those in their 60s, you know. Not those in their 70s and 80s. It is those who are in their 20s and early 30s who will keep on saying, "Oh, I'm old already. Yeah. But actually, they haven't really tasted what is old age. Of course, there are those who are older than me who will also say like, yeah, Sifu, you also every time say that you're growing old. Yeah. But what does it mean by growing old? Yeah. For different people, it means different things. But mostly, when we talk about growing old, which is part of change, is the change in our physical abilities, yeah, our physical well-being. So that's part of growing old. But as we grow old, some other things change as well. Yeah, our mental faculties. On one hand, we have more experiences, but on the other hand, our response time may or may not decrease. Yeah. So different kind of changes. So question is, why is it that we like certain changes and why do we not like certain changes? And how what has that got to do with dealing with changes? Do you ever deal with your birthday? Or do you ever hear someone say, "Aiya, sian ah." Then you're like, why are you sian? Yeah? Or like let's say I ask Chris, "Why are you sian?" Then Chris say, "Aiya, sian ah, birthday coming." Huh? Why? You know, I have to deal with birthday again. Huh?
IPPT window.
Sorry?
IPPT window is closing soon.
Because of the birthday.
Yes.
So you see, so for Zhuo Ping, the impending birthday. When is your birthday? Gone already.
Yeah.
So your window already closed.
Yes.
So for someone like Zhuo Ping, in fact, it is still not the birthday. Yeah, it's not birthday itself that he has to deal with, but the impending IPPT. Yeah, but and so for most people, do you have to deal with birthday? Most people don't have to. Although some people maybe, let me see. Are there cases where people have to deal with birthdays? Sometimes yes, actually. Sometimes when birthday comes, then you may find yourself having to sort of entertain your friends, you know, or maybe your family. Yeah, maybe you just want to spend some quiet time by yourself. But when changes are agreeable to us, are we more likely to want to have it? More likely, right, if it's agreeable to us. Yeah. So when do we have to deal with changes? When it is not agreeable, when it's disagreeable. Yeah. So when we start thinking about this topic, dealing with changes, there are actually many things to discover. Yeah. First of all, what constitutes changes? Secondly, why do we have to deal with it? Are there changes that we don't have to deal with? Are there changes that we want to deal with? Yeah. In her case, she had to deal with growing up because she has foreknowledge. She has the wisdom of the fact that when she grew up, she has to work. Yeah. But that's on the premise that she don't want to work. Like for me, I was looking forward to work. And when I got to work, I was actually very happy. So, you see, the same situation, by now you may start to realize, the same situation, the same set of changes may mean different things to different people. For some people, it is something to look forward to. For others, sian. You are now 10 years old. When do you want to start work? After you graduate from university, what makes you think that you're going to go to university? Amitofo. You better go to university. If you don't go, jialat. Sifu! No, whether you enter university has no bearings on what I say, okay? If what I say can make it happen or not, then I just say, everybody enter university. Cannot, no? Cannot. So let me see. If you go by the normal route, yeah, you go, and let's assume you go JC. Do you want to go JC or Poly? JC. Wow. P4 already thinking about JC. Yeah, I started thinking when I was in P6. Actually, when I say think, it's just a vague idea because I heard my parents talk about it. So I remember there was this conversation with my good friend in P6, Tan Kim Hock, Chen Jingfu. So we are sitting on a stone bench after our PSLE. So we were just talking, then we were saying, I think our life is more or less set. And I said, yeah, after this we'll go to secondary school. After secondary school we go to JC, then after that go to university, and then enter into engineering, then come out and work as an engineer. So for some reason at that point in time, I thought I have everything sorted out, you know. Yeah, so you are not too far away. Yeah, you are 2 years ahead of me. So if everything goes according to plan, you would finish your study 3 years old, depending on the course you take. So it's quite fast, 13 years later. Yeah, around there. Yeah, two more years of P6, primary school, 4 more years secondary school, then 2 years of JC, 8 years, then 4 more years of university, assuming you go for a professional degree. So 12 years. Yeah, are you ready? Yeah, now you are 10 years old. Just imagine another 10 years, then 2 more years, boom. You have to start working already.
师父都已经老了.
Yeah. Then in a few more years, you have kids. Then you find yourself dragging your little girl here. Sit. Close your eyes. Sit properly. dealing with changes. Okay, so I want you all to just spend 2 minutes, okay? And think about the changes that you have experienced in your life. Okay? I'm going to just very, very briefly guide you through. You don't have to follow my guidance. You can also think about it yourself. But you can think of changes in terms of, first of all, two broad categories. So one category will be physical. Another category will be non-physical. Okay? And then in both categories, you can further split it into internal versus external. Okay? So now how many categories do we have? About 4. Yeah? So 2 times 2, 4. Then further, you can look through it further and say, which are the ones which is, voluntary, and which are the ones that is involuntary. Yeah, voluntary means that you are willing with, you are going with this change, and involuntarily means whether you want or not, the change is going to happen. Yeah. So for example, growing old, growing up is involuntary. Yeah. Can you choose? Cannot. Yeah. And then as you grow up, this involuntary change would cause your body to change. Yeah. So can you choose to stay this size? Yeah, or can you choose to grow at a different rate? Yeah, tomorrow, boom, be taller than your sister. Yeah, can or not? Cannot. Yeah, or your sister, the next day, boom, 1.7 meter. she smiled. Yeah. Do you look forward to be 1.7 meter? No, don't want. Why don't want? Too tall. Yeah, I've heard from many friends before, females. Those who are 1.7, 1. Like, we may think that, wow, those girls who are quite tall, they were, like model kind of height. But actually, I have a lot of friends in the past who are about 1.7, and they always feel that they are too tall. Yeah. I guess maybe sometimes what we perceive, some changes we perceive as thinking that it's universally good for everybody, yeah, for those that they really experience it, maybe quite different. Yeah, so, 4 categories, then further, voluntary, involuntary. Yeah, physical can be voluntary also. Like for example, you're hungry. Yeah, hunger is involuntary change. Yeah, but eating is voluntary. Yeah, you can choose not to eat. Yeah, you can choose to eat. You can choose to eat a lot. You can choose to eat lesser. You can choose to eat healthy or not healthy. Yeah. So not all changes are involuntary. Yeah. You can switch off your phone, you can turn on your phone. You can switch on light, turn off light, and so on and so forth. Okay? In terms of non-physical, yeah, also there's voluntary, involuntary. Non-physical includes our thinking process, includes our mind, includes abstract concepts such as planning, yeah, or an event, yeah, a process, a class, for example. A class itself is a very, you know, the idea of having a class is a very interesting thing. I don't know whether you all ever sit down and think about this, but you know, this monks, nothing to do then with, what is this about? Yeah, because if you think about it, a class is an abstract concept consisting of physical, yeah, plus non-physical. Yeah, because the notion to group, to consider this group of individuals to be linked, yeah, and then to call this amalgamation and give it a name called a class, yeah, is actually an abstract concept. Yeah, because technically, are we stuck together? No ma. Anytime you need to go toilet, you can go out. And once you walk out of the room, are you still part of class? No. Yeah. But in fact, even when you're sitting here, are you can someone help get the door? Thank you. So like that gentleman walk in, is he part of the class? We never know. Yeah. Until you see, observe the changes over time. Then you can decide whether this person is part of the group or not part of the group. But even if a person sit down here, yeah, but then like maybe for her, she sit down here, then she's now, you know, just now Sifu talk about work, then she's like, oh, yeah. So although physically here, the mind is already 10 years later, 12 years later, yeah, the mind is somewhere else already. So even abstract concepts like class, like a class, yeah, that is also subject to change. Mm. Other things included, anything for that matter. Yeah. So I want you all to just think about the different parts of your life, different aspects of your life. If you like, you can use a piece of paper to write down to help you, you know, sort of sort out your thoughts. You can use your handphone as well. Mm. And then I want you to just sort of draw a mind map, yeah, and sort them into all these different categories. Yeah. So first you can put down all the different types. Yeah. Physical, non-physical, then internal, external, yeah, and then voluntary, involuntary. Yeah. So you have a mishmash. Then after that, you think about specific examples, yeah, that falls into all these different categories. So while you are doing it, I want to introduce to you the Venn diagram. Yeah, some of you may have already drawn this. Yeah, may end up drawing this also. So the three circles, yeah, physical, internal, and voluntary. Yeah. So for example, in the physical circle, anything that is inside this circle will be physical, of course. Anything that is outside is non-physical. Yeah? So, point A would be non-physical. Point B will be physical. And then, point C would be voluntary. And point D would be involuntary. B here is involuntary. Okay? Then point E is internal, point F is external. Yeah. So point G would be both physical, internal and voluntary. Yeah. When I learned about Venn diagrams, I'm like, wow, this is so interesting. You can represent concepts and ideas so beautifully. Okay, so you can use this as a form of grouping. You may have other ways that is more intuitive for yourself. Yeah. So for example, one B would be hunger. Yeah, this is an example. Hunger is physical and is involuntary. Oh, but it's internal, so we must shift this. Yeah. So then it will be I have to shift this away. Let me shift this away. So physical and internal. So this is, that's an example here would be hunger. Okay. So rain would be something that is physical, is external, and is involuntary. Involuntary in the sense that it's not within our control. Yeah. Of course, in some countries, they do cloud seeding and things like that, okay? Yeah. So just fill up. Put in at least maybe one example for each of these different categories. Then when you're done, you can let me know. Then we can continue. Okay, 1 more minute. So while you're doing that, I'm going to redraw some of this to give more space here. physical. And we have our okay, so I think by now you all may have written quite a lot of things. So I fill in some of it with some examples. Yeah. So the simplest one would be physical. Yeah. On the top left hand side. So within the circle, you have all the physical things. But this part of it, yeah. So this part of it is physical, and is external. Yeah, to us, and it's involuntary. So the example I give is rain. Yeah. Any other example of something that is physical, but external to us and involuntary to us, besides rain?
Natural disaster.
Natural disaster, for example. Yeah. So pretty much everything part of nature would fall under this category. Yeah. So this would be one category where when there are changes, for one, it is involuntary. Yeah, you cannot it's not something that you decide. When it happens, it happens. Yeah. So the question here is, when we categorize in this way and something falls under this category, what does it tell us? Is it something that you can effect change on, or you cannot effect change? In other words, can you control this category or not? This category is something that we cannot really control. Yeah, we can sometimes mitigate it. Okay, so dealing with change, first of all, you must know the nature of this change. If it's something that you cannot control, then don't try to control it. Yeah, or for that matter, don't end up getting upset with the change. Yeah, changes that you cannot control, getting upset doesn't do anything good, isn't it? Yeah. But let me introduce the concept of mitigation. Yeah. And very interestingly, mitigation is a very big word, huh? But I read somewhere that there was this very interesting conversation between, I think, Ajahn Chah and many years back, I think decades ago, in Thailand, in Wat Phananachat. That's the main center where foreigners go to Thailand to practice in the Thai forest tradition. So there was this monk who, after being in the center for a while, like give up. Yeah, went to Ajahn Chah and told him, this place I cannot take it anymore. I want to leave. So Ajahn Chah asked him, like, what's the problem? So then he said, well, this place, when I meditate, it came on raining. Yeah. And when it rains, the zinc roof is very noisy. You know, the zinc roof, you know, and heavy wind. Yeah. And then the window, yeah, the wind blow, the bing, 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 bing. How to meditate? Yeah. So noisy. Then Ajahn Chah looked at him and told him, well, you cannot change the rain, yeah, and the zinc roof, you cannot help it. But the window, you can close it and latch it. That's the end of the story. Very, very, very short and succinct. Yeah. that there are certain things that you cannot change. Why you get upset over it? Yeah, but there are certain things that you can change. You should go and do something about it. So this is the mitigation part. Rain, you cannot help. If it rains, yeah. But you can change according to the rain. If it rains, then bring an umbrella, yeah. Like we are going to Sri Lanka, very likely it may have a bit of shower. Bring umbrella, yeah. But sometimes we may say, but Shifu, we're going for a hike leh. We are going to fly kite. Rain how? Well, then change your plan, no? Yeah? So dealing with change is not always about trying to control the change. Many times you can't control the change. Yeah? Many times you can't control. Yeah? Recognizing and knowing what are the things that you can influence, you can affect change. And recognizing what are the ones that you have no control over. That's very crucial. Then you can be at peace with it. But at the same time, at peace with it doesn't mean a passive state of resignation, 认命 kind of thing. No. It means very proactively investigating. Investigating doesn't mean, well, go and catch up people. Investigating means using our wisdom to analyze, yeah, to really see clearly. Is this category or that category? In the seven factors of enlightenment, the first or second factor, yeah, investigation of states, either first or second factor. Yeah, depending on which tradition, some of you may learn it from one tradition or the other tradition. Yeah, this investigation of states is linked to right effort. Because if you don't investigate means to know clearly, is this phenomena of this nature or of that nature? So when you do that, then you can clearly determine, is this something you can change or not? Okay, now I want you all to look at your own, then we go on to the next category. So let's finish up all the physical part first. Internal, physical, but involuntary. So things like hunger. Voluntary or involuntary? For most people, it's involuntary. Can you suddenly say, oh, I want to be hungry. Dung! I'm hungry. Cannot. Cannot. If you're hungry, you're hungry. You're not hungry, you're not hungry. Bo pian. Yeah? And what can you do when you're hungry? Yeah, in Singapore, it's very simple. Yeah? Just call Deliveroo. Call GrabFood, then you can solve your hunger. But then this is where it becomes interesting. To solve one change, yeah, then sometimes you have to create another change. Yeah. So using the example, you call GrabFood, that's another change. But that change is also a change, you know. So what if that doesn't go according to your idea? Yeah, you expect it to come in 30 minutes time. What if it doesn't come? Then how? Yeah. So you can always take steps to verify, call and check what's going on and so on. Like recently, I saw this posting of this Malay lady who is handicapped, yeah, in a wheelchair, and she's doing delivery, you know. Yeah. There was someone who actually ordered, and when it took a long time to come, the person was getting so impatient, and then looking at the map, how come the movement is so slow? Yeah. But I quite respect this person, yeah, because after going through that, this person actually posed the whole process, yeah, and is coming, it's basically telling everybody about her. I think it was it a she or he, about the experience that happened, yeah, of how initially the person feel frustrated, yeah, feel impatient, and then after that, see that the vehicle has gone past, and hey, where is it? Then it turned out that the person, you know, because of the wheelchair, then cannot find a way to come up. Yeah. And because of that, there was a post made, then everybody knew about it. Yeah. So sometimes certain changes may not occur the way we intend, yeah, for circumstances that we are not privy to. So dealing with change involved this. Yeah. What else? Then so we go through this one. Then how about these two? So physical, and it's internal, and it's voluntary. So this category here, okay, this category here, I've written down bodily actions, okay? Bodily actions, because it's internal. Yeah. What do you all have for your category, for this category? Any examples? What do you all put down? Something that is physical, internal, and voluntary.
Losing weight.
Losing weight? Okay. Is losing weight voluntary? Sometimes not. Yeah. Sometimes losing weight is something that we can't control. So, yeah. So, how do we make it voluntary?
Accidentally not eating that much.
So controlling the input. Controlling input. There's this devotee, he told me something very funny. He said, actually very simple. Everybody know how to lose weight. Do more, eat less. Yeah, it's just these few words. Yeah, 少吃多做, four characters. Yeah, very simple. Everybody know ma. Yeah, but not easy to do. Yeah, so this is the challenging part. Although on one hand, when you look at the involuntary side of our control, it seems like we may sometimes feel hopeless. Yeah, we may sometimes feel powerless. But you'll be surprised, many of the things that we feel powerless over are actually the things that is within our control. Because it's actually not so easy to control what we want to do. Something like 少吃多做, not easy. Yeah. Many years back, I challenged my father to lose 10 kg in half a year. Yeah, many years back. Back then, I was 90 over kg. Can you imagine Sifu being 90 over kg? Whoa. Some people tell me, not that I say, some people tell me that because of my height, so I cannot tell. Yeah. But if you look at photos, you can tell. My eyes were smaller. You know why? Because even the eyelid have fats. And then, yeah. Like, you can see very clearly that there's a difference in the 眼神, you know. Yeah, that one like 双眼无神. Yeah. So, I challenged my father. Can remember? Yeah, 6 months, 10 kg. Yeah. So, managed to do it actually. Yeah. And it has... Oh, together. Together. Yeah. Cannot be I challenge him, then I don't do anything, right? Yeah. So remember, anyone who challenges you to some change, the person should be committed and involved also. Anyone can challenge anyone, but if it's a challenge that you do, the person just... then what's the challenge? So challenge always consists of commitment, both parties committing to it. For me, the reason why it was possible was mainly because of a change in mindset. Prior to that, I somehow have this very interesting mindset that because I'm taller, I'm bigger size, so I need more food. So it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, it became a self-sustaining ideology, you know. Yeah, because I'm taller, so I need to eat more. And because I eat more, I become bigger. And because I'm bigger, I need to eat more. Then it becomes just... Yeah, it was just so crazy. Yeah. And one day I realized, oh no, I'm 90 over kg. Yeah. And the worst thing is, you know, when you watch American movies, they will talk about the guys, usually it's about 170 pounds. Yeah. 160 to 170 pounds. That is... That's considered lightweight. Medium is about 180 to 200 pounds, you know. Yeah. They have people who are 300 pounds. Yeah. So when you are exposed to this kind of numbers, then you start to convert back and say, "Hey, I'm quite light one." Yeah. So to effect change, it must start with a mindset. You can say anything you want, or you try this, you try that, until you change your mindset, your efforts will be short-lived. Yeah, will be short-lived. So if you want a certain change in your life, you must first ask yourself, what is so good about that change? Until you are convinced without a shred of doubt that that change is what you are looking for. Otherwise, you can try, yeah, but not easy to sustain. This is just talking about the physical changes that is internal. Of course, losing weight is very interesting because losing weight has the internal and external part. So I have included here external actions. So external actions will be things we are doing that create an external result. Then internal is more internal, of course. Okay? Now, let's just take a step out of voluntary again to look at this. Internal, but not physical. Okay? So this one we have done, Internal, not physical, and involuntary. So I put down here sensations. What are sensations? Sensations are basically our contact. When we come into contact with this world, that's an experience. Yeah, the sensation that you have when you come into contact. To a large extent, in Buddhism, we say this part is actually involuntary. Meaning that, for example, when you touch ice, can you control whether you feel cold or warm? For the most part, you can't. You can, in a way, influence that. For example, if you put your hand in ice first, then after you put in cold water, the cold water will feel warm. So to that extent, you can influence it. But the fact that your hand can be fooled, that is involuntary. Understand? So I put sensations inside here. But I also put down thoughts and emotions and included a question mark next to it. And you notice that I also put thoughts and emotions in this category. What is this category? This category would be internal, non-physical, and voluntary. And I put them into both categories because by and large, different schools of thoughts have different opinions about thoughts and emotions. Some people feel that thoughts and emotions are involuntary, cannot help it. Some people feel that no, it's voluntary, meaning that you can decide how you think. But some people feel that thoughts maybe is voluntary, but emotions is not. And yet there are those who say that some thoughts are voluntary, some thoughts are involuntary. And some emotions are voluntary, and some emotions are involuntary. Actually, this is the interesting part I want to discuss with you all. So I want you all to just be aware of this part first. Think about it, okay? I want to then quickly cover the sort of the low-lying fruit. Intentions and decisions. This is quite clear. Intentions, by definition, is voluntary. Do you ever have intentions as involuntary? 情不自禁. It's actually always voluntary, isn't it? Oh, Sifu, no, I cannot help it. When I saw the cha bee hoon, I couldn't help it. I just decided to order. Why do you order? I don't know, it's involuntary. Sifu, I've been making, I buy a lot of Taobao things. Why? I don't know. Tell me that for you to click on the Taobao app, scroll through, click on the item, and then add to cart, and then check out and confirm, That's involuntary. You notice when it's voluntary, it usually requires more steps. Yeah, involuntary usually lesser steps, but not always the case. Not always the case. Yeah. So decisions and intentions are usually voluntary. Yeah. So, but this category as well. When we make intentions and decisions, while they are voluntary, sometimes they may change. Today we may decide on something, tomorrow we may change our mind. Isn't it? Yeah? Or, and as a result, then how? How do we deal with that change? Yeah? For that matter, before perhaps an approach to dealing with that change is, before we make decisions, we should know and recognize that these are subject to change also. So sometimes when we make certain decisions, maybe we don't have to be so firm. I mean, not that we want to be not firm, but don't have to be so insistent. Die must be like this, or die must be like that. Yeah. Before you make a certain decision, ask yourself, would you still agree with your own decisions 3 days from now? Will you still be okay? How about if you stretch it further, 3 weeks from now, will you still go along with that same decision? Yeah. So this is one way to deal with change. Yeah. When it's one of the voluntary part. Yeah. Take a time machine. Don't have to go and find a time machine. But do a thought experiment. Yeah. And ask yourself, three days, 3 weeks, 3 months from now, yeah, will those decisions still be okay? Will you look upon those decisions as, I'm glad I made it? Because sometimes when you do that, you may find that maybe it's not such a good decision. And sometimes you may find that, maybe you should really make a decision now and not 3 days later. So going through this analysis can be helpful. I still want to cover this, but I want to leave this for last, thoughts and emotions. Okay, this category would be those that is non-physical, external, and voluntary. So I put down certain things like abstractions, classes, ideas, and so on, which I've mentioned earlier. Yeah, some of these may overlap. Okay, into this category. The part that is outside, these are non-physical, is external, and is non-voluntary. Yeah, so we can roughly say that these are things that's happening outside of us. Yeah. All the things happening outside of us would fall under the shaded part outside. Okay? So before we go into that, let's look at this part. Voluntary, non-physical, and external. Any of the things that you all have experienced that fall into this category? Interesting. Voluntary is non-physical, and is external. You attend SGC. Yeah, it can be considered SGC is in a way non-physical. Yeah, it's voluntary. You all come voluntarily, right? Yeah, maybe for her non-voluntary. So I voluntarily go to the toilet. Yeah. In fact, before I started the class, I was very tempting to do something, which is right at the start of the class. Instead of writing this topic dealing with changes, I was very tempted to just go with another topic, which is Qingming. Because it's Qingming period, ma. Yeah, and the reason why I want to do this is to let your experience change. but then decided not to. Oh no, where's the text? So that would be something that is external. And sometimes the change can be, although our involvement is voluntary, but the change can be involuntary also. Yeah. So how do we deal with it? Like today, if I start off not going through all the things that we have discussed, and Sifu just said, okay, change. Today I'm going to talk about Qingming Shaowu. Then how? Will you all be okay? You all are too easy to please. Yeah, you are too nice. Yeah, but what if now you go to work? Yeah, can work be considered this category? Is work voluntary? Should be. If you are working involuntary, that's called slavery. Yeah, please report to MOM. Work is, I think most of us may not be doing physical work. Yeah, but the concept of work itself is non-physical. It's something external, although work can involve internal also. So what if when you go to work and there's changes at work? Yesterday you go to work, you are the manager. Today when you go to work, you see you check your email and there's this email from. Good news never go through HR. When it's good news, it's always your boss giving you the good news. The bearer of good news always want to give you the good news. Bad news always pass to HR. So by now, most of us who have been working for a while, you know that anytime you get a notification from HR, unless prior to that, your boss has already talked to you. And usually it's good news. If it's directly from HR, high chance it's not so good news. So imagine, you go in. Yesterday, Friday you went in as a manager. Then Monday you go in, check your email, tung, HR, notice of meeting, and then no agenda, just for some briefing. Wow, jialat. Even before you receive the change, what happened? Do you all feel excited? Would any of you feel excited? Or would you feel anxious? Actually, excitement and anxiety is very similar, The difference is one is happy, one is sad. One is with fear. Anxiety is usually the one with fear. Usually, not always. The excitement is usually the one with happiness. Some excitement can be mixed. Some excitement can be mixed. Like if you want to, if you are waiting for the result, that can go both ways. It can also be excitement, or anxiety, depends. So how do you deal with that? Because there's two parts to deal with, like using work as an example. One is before you know what changes there are, and one is after you know the change. Like if you know that you have been retrenched, not my fault if Monday you really get retrenched letter, okay? Wow. Like, it'd be amazing if, like, tomorrow is Monday, right? Like, all of you get retrenched. Like, I would be famous overnight, Like, the monk who accidentally predicted the retrenchment of how many staff? In different companies, no less. Wow, that would be amazing. But you see, the thing is, No. This is something that does happen, ma. Correct or not? It's not whether you talk, then it happens. It doesn't talk. Don't talk, then don't happen. I remember when I was working on a project with Nokia. They were at the HP Alexandra Towers, the two towers, right? And then, around that time, I think HP themselves or Seagate, they were doing retrenchment. Wow. So when I arrived, then my counterpart with Nokia, my client with Nokia told us, wow, jialat, like morning C1 batch. Whole batch go in, receive letter by noon, pack up. Then after they are gone, after lunch, another batch receive the letter. So these are changes that whether you you face it this way or that way, it's happening. So in a way, this would be similar to rain, you know, or natural disaster. You like it or not, it's happening, you know. Yeah. So that's this part, which is dealing with the aftermath. Yeah, it's happening already. Yeah. Then you want to ask yourself, what is the next best thing to do? The next best thing. This is something that kept me alive all these years. Next best thing. Sometimes we feel trapped because we cannot get the best thing. And we feel that we deserve the best thing. We want the best thing. And we should have the best thing. Then we get stuck. If we come to accept that, yeah, we are not going to get the best thing. Best thing referring to the ideal that we want. Ideally, anyone can come with ideals, right? Yeah, anyone can sit down and say, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a bit of goal setting. But when changes happen, then you have to ask yourself, okay, you cannot get this, what is the next best thing? You cannot get A, is B okay? How about A minus? Yeah? What is good enough? So ask yourself, what is the next best thing? But if we take a step back, half the time our stress, our problem with change is not the change itself, you know. Because once it happens, you receive a letter, you pack up, you're given 1 hour to pack up your things, you're given a box. You don't want to also, what are you going to do? Security is standing there looking at the few of you, then you have to pack. What? Just pack, long. What are you going to do, right? Yeah. But it's the before that I also want to touch on. And because before you know what is really happening, that's where it's a whole world of possibilities, you know. And that is actually even more, some would say, dangerous. Because once you know that you are retrenched, that's all that is. But before that, our mind is so creative, you know. Normally in school, the teacher asks you to write a 500-word essay or 1,000-word essay. Cannot think of anything, you know. But the moment that you receive an email but you don't know what is going to happen, our mind suddenly switched to Shakespeare mode. Come out with all kinds of stories. Yeah. Beautiful scenarios. Not beautiful, amazing, different kind of scenarios. So this is one other part that I want to highlight. Yeah, that as many wise people have said before, sometimes the fear of change itself is more fearful than change. Careful. Are you okay? So again, then that brings us back to the emotions. Fear is a form of emotions. We are not here to tell people to ignore your emotions. No, you shouldn't ignore emotions. You see a dog, then you feel fear. No, ignore the fear. Yeah, I mean, if there's a dog, there's a dog, you know. Yeah. So a thought experiment I often do with people is I ask them, now if I were to tell you that there's a dragon behind you, you probably won't believe, because come on, dragons. When is the last time anyone see a dragon outside of a movie, you know? But now if I tell you there's a dog behind you, then you need to have some evidence. What if you seem to have heard a dog growl? I was hoping that this will not happen, but somehow it still happened. And this is the thing. This is the scenario I paint to people. If you hear a dog growl, there's good reason to be cautious. That is good reason to feel anxious. But you should still check. Yes. Yeah, you should still check. Check for what? Check for the dog. Yeah? Correct or not? You should check, still check for the dog. That means verify what is really there. And once you find that there's a dog, then you can decide what you want to do. Yeah, but until you verify that there's a dog, should you be anxious? Yeah. If you didn't even hear about the dog growling, should you get excited and, you know, bang table and tell everybody, hey, we must get out of here? Should you? Don't have to, right? So, thoughts and emotions. Okay, I want to quickly wrap up this part. How many of you think that thoughts are voluntary? And how many of you think that they are involuntary? Voluntary thoughts. Involuntary, you may raise twice, you know, because maybe some thoughts appear voluntary, isn't it? Some thoughts may be involuntary, isn't it? And the truth is, yeah, it's somewhere there. Yeah? Like, for example, the active thoughts. Yeah? Okay, think about a pink elephant, and then you're actively thinking about it. Yeah? And then, because now I planted the idea of pink elephant in you, now for the rest of the 5 minutes, in the next 10 minutes, occasionally the pink elephant will appear in your mind, although it's not even real. Yeah? So there's the involuntary thoughts and the voluntary thoughts. Yeah? So then, how should we deal with this? So just now during meditation, you all may recall, yeah, I give the example of, you know, walking past a rubbish bin or going into MRT and then someone with BO. Now, have you all ever encountered someone with BO? Yeah. I always feel that I'm quite okay with, like, the senses. Like, whether nice or not, I'm quite okay, you know. But there were... Oh, Jala, we are on record now. I've ever encountered before where... the person who come and see me for counseling, oh, Chela, we're really on record now. Yeah. No, but I don't mention him. The thing is that it was so strong, I really couldn't help it, you know. Yeah. So I want you to think of the time where you smell the worst BO, right? And use that as a personification of the negative, unwholesome emotions. Or thoughts. Yeah. And recognize that doesn't matter whether it's voluntary or involuntary. Yeah. But you ask yourself, if it's unwholesome, if it's negative, why should you let it stay in your mind? Doesn't matter where they come from, how they come. Once they come out, do you still want to let it fester in your mind? Just like when you have bad smell, do you want to and keep it in your nose? Don't let it come out. Don't want, right? And the same goes for emotions. Yeah, negative emotions. Emotions. How about emotions? Is it voluntary or involuntary? Many people would agree that is, would think that is involuntary. But in the Buddhist tradition, we don't say that it's totally involuntary. We say that it's conditional. Actually, for both thoughts and emotions, we say it's conditional. Which means that once we change the conditions, the emotions will change. Yeah. So we don't have to feel so powerless towards our emotions as well. Yeah. And if there's anything at all, yeah, this is one aspect about the teachings, yeah, that is so powerful. Yeah, so powerful. Yeah, so I want you all to go back and think about this. Yeah, because changes, we can go on for a long time. And there are so many aspects of our life. I want you to go back and look through the list that you have covered. Yeah, some of the things we have covered, some of the things we have written down, we may not have touched on. I want you to go back and ask yourself, based on what we have shared today, yeah, on how to look at it, whether it's physical or non-physical, internal or external, whether it's voluntary or not, yeah. And if you look at those changes that you have experienced, yeah, how would you classify them? Yeah, and ask yourself, how would you manage them? Do they belong to categories where you cannot control? then you have to ask yourself, have you been accepting that they are not within your control? Yeah. And despite not being in your control, what are the steps we take to mitigate them, the effects? And sometimes I'll tell you, sometimes part of it is to accept that life don't always give you agreeable things. Because sometimes even when you try to mitigate, you cannot mitigate. It's like that, it's like that. Yeah. There's many layers, yeah, to unravel. Yeah. So I want you all to go back and do this this analysis. Yeah, in a way like clean up. Mm. And then I want you to pen it down. And this is what I need you to do further. For the next few weeks, I want you to continue this examination on your own, okay? And then I want you all to perhaps just do a summary of what you find out and send it to, I haven't figured out a way, okay? But moving forward, I want to introduce something in SGC, which is a mechanism, yeah, a method, an avenue for you to post your findings based on the class, yeah, based on the session, but post it anonymously. Yeah, because if I ask you all to post everything you write down, maybe a bit, you know, personal ma. But if you can post it anonymously, then maybe easier for us to share. The purpose of doing that is so that there's a follow-through process. In the past few years, I have encountered many students who come to Sifu and say, oh, from this class, I've learned something, and it has helped me change either my way of looking at things or my life itself. Yeah? But not everybody do that, ma. There are those who try, but maybe get stuck somewhere, but don't know who to tell. Then next week is a really new, different topic. Then no follow-up. Yeah, so I want to introduce a follow-up, follow-through process so that when you all take this back and you try, now maybe you find that certain things apply, maybe certain things don't apply. Yeah, I want to hear about that. Yeah, and then the next session, we'll have on the 28th, we have the main topic, and we'll spend some time to do a review also. Yeah. Please don't post into the SGC chat. That one, everybody can see. I mean, if you feel that it's something that's not so personal and you feel like sharing, feel free as well. Yeah. But in the meantime, you all may want to just send a Telegram chat to me. Then until I find another way, I want to maybe have a platform where you all can post, everybody can see, but it's posted anonymously. Then we can have a follow-through. Yeah. There are different software out there, I know, and some websites also. I think Wood or some... I was buying things on... yeah, some other software. I'll keep you all posted on this. Meantime, you all try this exercise, okay? Can? Mm. So, dealing with changes. Yeah. So I hope this can help us at least have a different look at change. Yeah, and changes. Do apologize for the overrun because we started late as well. And I didn't want to just... On some sessions, I'm like, okay, time's up, I really cut. But I find that that's not so effective. Yeah, because sometimes halfway through a topic, you know, then you just cut, then leave you all hanging, go back. Like, was there something else? So hope you all go back for the next few weeks, try out the exercise. Okay? Come. 愿消三障诸烦恼，愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧真明了，愿得智慧真明了，普愿罪障悉消除，普愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，世世常行菩萨道，阿弥陀佛，起立。